Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Another great week starting off. Halloween is tomorrow. Hope you got your costume and your candy ready. You should be doing it. If you're a person, you know? That's what life's all about. When there's extra excuses to have fun, like Halloween, try to participate, you know? Just try. Today's episode, just Brad and I, no guest, so fun. Maybe one of my favorite episodes that Brad and I have done solo. From Halloween to him getting a tour of the Bronco Stadium to my worst costume story of all time to Brad and I's thoughts on anal sex, which we've never talked about this candidly. It's a great episode. So enjoy this one. And we're going to start trying to do these Brad and I's at least once a week, even though we got so many great guests coming up. Judd Apatow, Jeff Ross, Maranzio Vance. Holy shit. My buddy Teddy Shapiro, who wrote the music for Old School, Tropic Thunder, Ghostbusters, Spy. Anyway, so make sure you're subscribed on iTunes and comment and rate on the iTunes page and help us climb the charts. Email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. aboutlice.com in case you need lice tips. aboutlastnightpodcast.com for all past, present episodes. Joey McIntyre will also be returning on the podcast very soon. So make sure you're subscribed. And our new merch has been ordered. We will have it in the next week. And then we're going to start sending it out. So make sure you email us those About Last Night moments, favorite episodes, why you get into the pod, where you get it. And we're going to send out a lot of merch. Email aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter and Instagram. Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. Funny Brad on Twitter. Brad Williams Comic for all his tour dates. This weekend, Brad will be at Levity Live in Oxnard, California, Thursday through Sunday. And I will be there on Saturday, doing shows with Brad on Saturday, November 4th. Come out and see us, Oxnard, Levity Live. Come see us, baby. And then next week, I'm very pumped. One of my favorite clubs in the country. I'm going to be at the Tempe Improv, November 10th through the 12th. November 8th, I will be at Stand Up Live for one night only. In Phoenix, Arizona, and then November 10th through the 12th, Tempe Improv, baby. Tempe, Arizona. Get your tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. And then, of course, November 14th, Adam Ray and Buddies returns to the Comedy Store at 8:30 in the main room. November 14th, Tuesday, Dana Carvey, Kevin Nealon, Finesse Mitchell, and some special guests. Holy shit, get ready. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Happy fucking Halloween.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. No podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
Sorry to the baseball gods that I didn't care as much. Sorry to
dude, this game was a gut punch.
Even if you don't like sports, I feel bad for you that you can't even allow yourself to get into.
Yeah, just the it's nothing but pure human drama. Yeah. Like my favorite is people that don't like sports, but then will watch a quote unquote reality show like Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yes,
and they'll be like, well, or they'll watch The Bachelor, and they'll be like, oh, I watch it because of the drama. I'm like, that's manufactured. That's story editors. That's someone going out on a date in Taiwan, and that's their first date on horseback with candles. And other than Adam Ray, no one else does that on a first date.
Well, I go above and beyond, and I look. It's more about setting the tone. And sure. there's guys out there who don't do horseback rides. Which, by the way, we have a mutual friend who teaches lessons, and I was speaking with her the other day, and I go,
what?
And
who is? I mean, don't say his or her full name, but
Sarah.
Oh, okay.
And she goes, yeah. She goes, the offer's on the table, and I go, Now, how much of a concern is it to be like, do we get him a pony? Do we
can we get me a Shetland pony?
Do we
can we just something to where if I fall off, it's like, oh, that's cute and adorable.
Yes.
Not I need a parachute.
Yes.
Okay.
And you know, and I think you know, you get to know somebody long enough, you know what they can and can't do. And
yeah.
You know, you surprise me all the time with what you can do. AKA throwing a vitamin water to yourself.
Yeah, and every time I hop on the armrests and grab my bag and chuck it up in the overhead storage bin, I still amaze people.
It makes me so happy that you do that. A, because you can do it. So why? What are you gonna do? There's also I think more of me thinks that you do it because for the reaction than just I can do it.
I kind of do
because you can also sit back.
Pride,
yeah,
because
yeah.
I get asked every time. Every time I get on the plane, say, "Hey, you want to put me back up?" And I'm just that frustrated 5-year-old, like, "No, I can do it. I got this."
Yeah.
Then I jump up and I do it, and then I always get the guys like, "Oh, looks like you've done that before." And
I have.
Yeah.
It's called life.
Yeah.
I boarded the plane by myself. Did you notice that?
Dude, today I almost lost it on a guy. I flew home from Denver today. Amazing shows in Denver. I'll talk a little bit about that.
Yes.
But so I get bumped up to first class a lot. I choose the same airline every time.
Who's that?
Shout out to American Airlines.
Great.
And I'm executive platinum. And
what does that mean? Because you stand out there in the terminal and you hear... Like, I just became a high rank, I feel like, for Delta.
Okay.
Gold medallion. I don't know what that means, but I feel like it's worth a cookie, high five,
right,
and or offer of hot towel, but not on my face.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It sounds like
gold
someone
medallion.
someone trying to make up an award.
Yeah.
Like, when like the kid, like the kid on the team gets the MVP or the best hitter or the fastest or the best pitcher. Then there's one kid that is the worst player on the team
that has
no awards. And you're like, you get the gold medallion for effort. And the kid's like, oh, I got this.
But he heard gold and heard medallion.
Yes.
And so he forgot about effort.
Yes.
He forgot that was actually an award for being like, thanks for not dying while you played and making me look like the worst coach ever.
Award for you lived through every game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good call.
Hey, you put on your uniform and you went out to the field when I said, go to that spot. You remember the spot to go to.
Hey, good
spot,
for you.
Spot remember.
Yeah, good for you. So I got bumped up to first class, and I flew home from Denver. And as we were waiting to get out, I usually wait a little bit to let it clear out so I'm not holding people up as they exit, as I do the armrest, get my bag out, move.
Yes.
So I wait, it clears out, and then I finally get up. I get my bag down, and this guy kind of taps me on my shoulder because I got my headphones in. And I take my headphones out. I go, what's up? And he goes, so how did you get to first class? Just flat out, like, and I go, excuse me? And he goes, like, why are you sitting up in first class?
Okay, now I want to stop. Now, did you take that as him being like, how did you? Or is he just asking person on person being like, hey, I'm curious. Like, we're all up here, and there's only six of us.
I took it as, how did you?
Okay. Well, that's inappropriate.
Yes, and I kind
of... I judge your perception of... You can read tone. That's our job, is to read people on and off stage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I was tired. I had barely slept because I shared the condo with another comic. Normally that's bad, but the condo at Comedy Works is amazing. Yeah. And the opening act got laid, so I didn't sleep much, which was great.
You know what?
I didn't mind at all.
You're a good dude, man.
He was like apologizing to me the next day. I'm like, why are you apologizing? That was awesome.
You
good
got
job,
sex, man. You
yeah.
Didn't, you didn't have sex planned and you got it.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best.
But guess what, man? Great move. Let it be known. Let it be acknowledged by not just as a headliner. Like, it's totally fine if you were to be like,
hey, guys.
Hey, man, I earned me getting to this spot of where I want sleep.
Yep. And if I was the feature act and that situation was happening and the headliner said that, I'd be like, okay, Totally get it. Yeah. And I would have found an elevator shaft somewhere.
I've had to do it. I slept in many a lobbies with, I will not name, who put me in that lobby. They didn't put me. It's not like they carried me downstairs and was like,
Sure.
But you read the room again and you go, and when the person shows up or whatever, you just go, oh, this is my cue.
Yeah.
And then when they kick you out of the lobby, that's when it gets a little dicey because then anger starts brewing for the comic and or friend of yours that is now you're kicked out of the now the own hotel that you have a room at, you are not even be allowed to be at.
Very frustrating. Yeah. So anyway, didn't sleep much. So this guy's like, why are you in first class?
And my what'd you do?
And my response was, I looked at him and said, well, to be honest, sir, I'm a Make-A-Wish kid, and this was my last wish.
Good for you.
And you could the flight attendant busted up. The flight attendant heard it, was just
recognized comedy.
Absolutely. And did kind of a spit take. And the guy's like, obviously not expecting that comeback. And he's like, seriously? He said seriously. I go, no, not
man.
Seriously. I have a beard, idiot.
I'm in first class. My voice is deeper than any 12-year-old, hopefully, that you do not know.
Right. So I was like, no, not seriously. I fly a ton for my job, so I get upgraded a lot. And he was just kind of like, okay. But I thought, that's a ballsy move right there. Well, why do you get first class?
It's a ballsy move for lots of reasons. First of all, I'm not a big advocate of first class small talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you mentioned
which would be the title of my talk show that takes place in first class on my flight.
Actually, a great idea.
First class small talk.
Actually, you know what you do? You reserve one seat and you pull up somebody from coach and you pull them up
and just talk. Yeah. Hey, it's time for first class small talk. Yeah, those are hot peanuts.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Yeah. Well, I know you don't know what to do with that hot towel, but we'll figure this out together. Trust your instincts.
Exactly.
But I sat on a plane and I had my headphones on and if you've been on a plane, chances are you've been outside before,
mm-hmm.
and you've been around people, and you should be able to pick up on cues.
Yeah, like headphones social cues are on.
Headphones are on is the same as chewing food. Your mouth is closed, so you wouldn't try to shove another sandwich in someone's face if they're chewing,
right?
Because that means I've already got something in here,
right?
Headphones covering ears. That what is that? That means, hey, shut up.
Yeah,
it's basically a very nice way to be like, shut up.
Yeah,
if you're trying to talk to me, don't do it.
Absolutely.
So, like you said, the guy tapped on your shoulder, and I'm on the plane, and I sat down. The woman already had four empty bottles of mini Jack. I sat down, I'm boarding first.
Yeah.
How did she get on before me and already polish off four mini bottles?
That's commitment.
And as I try to walk by her, she sighs, goes, and then slowly moves her legs to the side, and I go, oh, sorry to make you move. We're all in first class. So
right.
All of our lives rule.
Yeah.
No reason to sigh right now.
No. And
you're four bottles deep.
You've had four bottles of Jack, and I'm assuming which is a flight before noon. Yes. Like, you're having a good day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the only reason you've polished off four bottles here is because they wouldn't let you bring the one on the plane that you were that you still had in hand from the bar.
Well, I had one in my hand driving, and I was just fine. They didn't pull me over for that one.
So I have to pee, and we're sitting there we're sitting in the plane. Yep. Everyone's on now, yep. and I go, hey, excuse me, do you mind if I just pee real quick? And the woman goes, I'm so sorry, the door's closed. I go, I think you misread the situation. I'm not trying to get off the plane and pee in the terminal. I'm trying to get everything done right here. 4 feet from me is a door to the bathroom. I see. I'd like to get there. So, you know, the door I don't think has anything to do with what I'm trying to do. You know, and she goes, I can't. I'm sorry. I go, you know what? Cool. I ain't trying to get pulled off United Airlines style.
Sure.
I saw what happened online. I'm trying to avoid that. I want to stay in my seat.
Sure.
Drunk woman feels a great opportunity to, hey, did you need advice? You know, it was basically what she thought. Because then she taps me again. I take off my headphone. I go, what's going on?
Yeah.
She goes, I couldn't have, but you have to pee. I go, yes.
Yeah.
She goes, do I get an idea? I go, oh, what's that? She goes, as soon as the plane takes off from there, go for it. Verbatim. Go for it. I do what you do. I start laughing a little. It's just, how can you not? That's such a funny thing. And then I go, okay. Not the craziest thing I've heard so far today on this flight.
Right.
But also no. It's, I don't know what point in you coming up with that seemed like a great idea. And then I go,
yeah.
But follow up question, what if I get up there and they go, "Hey, we told you to sit down." She goes, "Dude, I'm not even joking. It's just four bottles. If you're fucked up, dude, on a plane, you just we've all been to a point when you don't remember saying stuff."
Yep.
And I think this was hers. I go, "I get to the front of the plane, they're not going to let me pee. What do I say?"
Yeah.
Now I'm humoring her. She goes,
"Sure.
Tell them they have a bomb." Nope. Welcome back to no.
No.
Welcome back to no.
And by the way, shut the fuck up, bitch. Like, yeah. Don't say that too
Stop
loud.
Saying bomb in
yeah.
my direction.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
now I'm a party.
Yeah. Because yes, you look Jewish, but I mean, you know, maybe you had a tan that day.
Oh yeah.
You know, or
the beard is a little,
or maybe the eyebrows weren't so well manicured.
Yeah.
So
to wear a little bushier.
Yeah, there could definitely be a mistake there. There could definitely be like, well, I'm only half.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever, and you go, and if they hear a drunk woman stare at you and just go, bum.
Yeah.
That's not gonna go well.
So I'm like, no, you're 0 for 2 with suggestions so far, drunk lady.
And just go for it and tell them you have a bomb. What could happen? It's a plane. What could that, like, yeah, that's when the air marshal stands up and fucking double taps you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not a good idea.
And then I go, "All right, well, again, I feel like a reasonable opportunity for another question."
I love
from your bomb suggestion.
I love how you essentially are doing crowd work on this woman.
Of course,
yeah. Because when I see you do crowd work, and I love watching you do crowd work because I don't feel I'm that good at it, so I like to learn from you. And one thing's something that I learned from you is that you just keep giving the person rope to hang themselves with. You just keep asking them questions
that set them up.
Yeah, and being like, "Oh, okay, you yelled out," rather than me just being like, "Shut the fuck up."
Yeah.
Let me humor this situation.
Yeah. I'm not watching a striptease with dudes trying to get in my ear.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Flashback to a previous episode. But yeah, so you'll ask them, like, "Now why'd you yell that out?"
Yeah.
Because you know, there's
put it on them.
Yeah, there's no response that they could give. "I felt you needed help." Like, there's nothing they could say. There's nothing they could say that would be good, and then you could just make fun of whatever that response is.
Also, it allows me to stay calm. Mm-hmm. It allows me to kill them with kindness. And if I do just go, "Oh shit, well, that was kind of crazy what you just did right there." Like,
yeah.
You know, even when I remember being at the Gramercy opening for Adam on the first tour, and some guy was like, "We want Adam Devine," after 20 minutes. I had 10 minutes left. And it had been a great set, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a 30 minute set. And I just go, and then people go, "Ooh." And I go, "Well, that didn't feel very good."
Yeah.
And people start laughing because you play the truth of the moment, you know?
You just kind of echo what the audience is thinking.
I go, "Why'd you say that, man?" He goes, "I want to see Adam." I go, "Cool, man. I wish you weren't here. We're both not really getting what we want right now." And then, you know, it just kind of,
boom, done.
Yeah, totally.
Quick, and yeah. So, what was the third question you asked her then?
Okay, so I go, "What if the bomb thing does not go my way?" And she goes, "Then just see if you can get some more peanuts." Just get some peanuts. She went from, hey, you aborted the plan so quick. You went from, "Tell me if a bomb," to "just see if you can get some peanuts." That's like going from holding hands to anal like a week later. Like, there's no buildup.
Well, if you try to reach for her hand and she doesn't take it, then you
put
say, "Well, I got some Astroglide." That's my sound effect for anal.
Can I be? Oh my god.
To be fair, it's a sound effect for putting lube out of the tube. It's not the sound of the entrance.
No.
It's the "Hey, I got my KY," and
can I be honest? Great sound effect. I have yet to go down the anal highway.
Neither have I.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this the first time we've talked about this?
I believe this is... welcome to Anal Talk on the About Last Night podcast.
This is the first.
Well, we are doing this podcast at midnight.
Yeah.
So this is the Loveline edition where we start giving in some heavy topics that aren't appropriate during the daytime.
No.
I have never done that. I've never had a desire to do that. One time a woman yelled it out that she wanted that, and I yelled back at her, "That is not a spontaneous decision. That is not something where you go like, because a spontaneous decision is, well, you know what? I was going to get the sliders, but I'm just going to get popcorn shrimp. That's a spontaneous decision.
Yes.
Saying, like, you know what? We're having a good time, and now doing that, that's not a spontaneous decision.
As much as I want to hate that sound effect, it's my new favorite thing.
I will try to incorporate it more. yeah, but so I've just never had the need, never had the desire. Some guys have told me, like, yo, dude, you got to try it. You got to try it, man. I'm like, why? Other side works okay.
Also, I need to be almost, I don't know how many things I need to have tried before I go anal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, also, how bored are you with the vagina?
Yeah.
That you're like,
it works really well.
God, you know what?
It's pretty much perfectly designed for exactly that action.
I mean,
I don't get it.
Also, even like,
great. Now we're going to have listeners tweet at us. Dude, the butt is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Butt, like, yeah. Butt go. I always go butt first. Once you go butt, you never go.
You just can't get enough. Wait, that doesn't
rhyme.
What would
be the phrase? Once you go butt, you don't.
This was a really old joke in my act, but I always said that a good dwarf pickup line is, once you go tiny, you'll love it in the hiney. But, comma, you know, that's just me. Let's see, put it in the butt. You'll want to strut. I don't know. I don't know why I went full Ric Flair. For the listeners, Adam has actually left the room right now. I'm not quite sure what happened. Are you searching for your book titled "How to Talk Anal with Dwarves"?
How do I properly get through this conversation?
Yeah, is it like a book that parents buy right before? Because I had a book when I was going through puberty. My parents just handed it to me. It was called "What's Happening to My Body? Book for Boys." And so that's
From
what
I'm holding hands to anal. a man's guide to
we cover it all.
To figuring out the female reproductive system.
Yeah,
I don't know. I remember the first time somebody told me that they did. I think it was middle school. Again, Jesse Mose.
Middle school.
Yeah, I've referenced him before. Jesse Mose.
Jesse Mose was the
Batman of middle school fuckers.
He was the Tory from Saved by the Bell of your school.
Well, I told you, he wore a leather jacket, so that's an accurate assessment.
Right.
He, I remember the first time he was like, I did sex, I did butt sex. We were like, butt sex? Was that just did you just stutter?
Yeah.
I did sex, I did butt sex. You go... But sex what?
It's like a bad Abbott and Costello routine.
I did sex, butt sex.
But what? But third base.
Yeah. But sex what?
Yeah.
He goes, no. Put in a butt. And then as an eighth grader, you're just like, but poop comes there.
Yeah.
Comes out there.
I'm 33 and I still say that.
Yeah.
I still say like, there's some stuff in there I don't want to find out about.
Dude, it's almost like if Indiana Jones, if they're like, you can go down that cave and save the princess. Wait, who did? No. Kieran Allen.
Sure.
Or you can go down this tunnel. It smells like farts.
Yeah. It's like, well, there's a prince. There's a hot chick over there.
Yeah.
I'll just go that route.
Yeah. Why would you go down the cave that smells like farts?
No. And I've heard.
Your dick is Indiana Jones in this scenario.
Well, you know, that does make sense because I do use it like a whip.
Yeah, you do. And when you come, Alexa starts playing. You made the and then when you pick the vagina over the butt, the old man goes, "You chose wisely."
And then some small Asian kid in the corner yells out, "Hey, lady, you called him a Dr. Jones." That was the worst small Chinese accent ever.
That was good.
That's all right. I never had a desire, and I have a couple of friends that are adult film actresses, and they have told me
they
do love it, but they have told me the upkeep involved in getting prepared for that, and I'm just kind of like, that's a lot of work.
Not only is it a lot of work, it's you know, what's the payoff?
Yeah,
you know, if you're a Major League Baseball player. You go through the minors.
Don't bring up baseball right now.
Yeah, I know.
Still sore.
Well, but it's just like anal. We got to talk about it. It hurts, but at some point in the relationship, it needs to be discussed.
Absolutely.
That really is, by the way, just to shift from anal to baseball. It's the game tonight. Look, if you're listening to this on Monday, which you are, it's 3-2 Astros.
Yeah.
I'm torn, and I want to know how you feel about it, because you're an Angels fan at heart, right?
It's weird. I'm the weird Southern California kid that was both, because my dad watched every Dodger game and listened to Vince Scully on the radio, and but then the Angel Stadium was closest to us, so that's the games. Bless you.
Bless you again. I'm allergic to shitty stories. So keep.
So that's the stadium we actually went to watch games. So I'm kind of a fan. But yeah, so I'm really excited for the Dodgers. I want them to win. And that
also,
was
living in a city where a sport. I mean, look, we've been spoiled since we've been here. The number of championships and now a second football team, unnecessary. It's almost like you sit down at Buca di Beppo. They bring you the. I'm allergic to my own shitty stories. that joke backfired. So you go, oh, family style ravioli, and then they go, yes, but also hot fudge root beer float, and you go, is it my birthday?
Yeah, that's too much.
That's what the Chargers are.
Exactly.
They're the brownie root beer float you did not ask for.
Yeah, that can't fill a stadium.
So they're not a brownie root beer float.
Yeah, I think more people would go watch a brownie root beer float play football than the Chargers.
Wow. Shots fired. That audio and send it to the Chargers.
Hey, I'm still a Broncos fan, and they're still in the division.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so, that makes sense. That's just a sports jab.
Exactly.
But the Dodgers, look, who doesn't want the parade? Who doesn't want the excitement of the city? It's fun. It's fun to go around. And look, they're not my league. I'm a Mariners guy. That's American League National.
Yep.
But I've been here for 16 years, man.
Yeah.
You've been here your whole life. You, even though it's a little bit north of where you grew up,
right?
You still grew up watching them.
Yep. And like the Angels won in 2002, and that was amazing. Loved it. Especially because they beat the Giants. And of course, as a dwarf, I hate
you hate all Giants.
Yeah, all Giants.
Yeah.
So someone the other day was trying to tell me how that I needed to be a New York Giants fan. I'm like, what about dwarf saying I love the Giants sounds appropriate to you?
No,
nothing. But yeah,
that like people being like for me, like, dude, just get over the Hitler thing.
I mean, it was a long time
ago. It was a phase.
But it'll be exciting. But I will say this. I am happy that, like, don't be wrong, we're down 3-2, so there's still a chance.
Oh, yeah.
But
I mean, it's set up for an amazing, the final two games at home. I mean, that's...
Oh, unreal. But if...
I know what you're going to say.
If we are to lose, the fact that we would lose to Houston, I'm okay with that.
Now, or do you want them to? I mean, what do you, in your heart of hearts?
Oh, in my heart of hearts, I'm a Dodger fan. I want the Dodgers to win. But if, you know, someone lost their house and maybe the Astros win and that makes them feel good for, a couple weeks. Great. Love that. That's a wonderful solace. And
I know.
And knowing that some people are, this is a great escape for them.
And it is.
All I want to know is, who the fuck is the guy that drives the train when the Astros hit the home run? The train that's in their stadium.
Oh, yeah.
They hit the home run.
It's not a child's train.
He was on camera tonight. They hit the home run, and it shows him like, oh, shit, I got to do my job. And then he runs it, and he runs the train, and he hits the button, and the train goes at maybe a mile and a half down a 20-foot track.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, just earn that paycheck. Cash out.
How do you get that job? Certain sports jobs, shooting the t-shirt cannon. How do you get that job?
Right.
Are you an ex-Marine? How much pent-up cum do you have? And do you have to tell them about to where you can fucking shoot t-shirts at strangers and be like, who wants one? Who wants? They're so jacked up on roids and or, Adderall, where it's just like, they come out with energy you didn't know humans were capable of.
Right.
And they're like,
how many pixie sticks did you snort?
Yeah, how many what?
How many pixie sticks did you snort to get that?
I found myself literally being like, dude, I'm all good. And like putting my hands up, like, not that I want one, but like, don't shoot, you know? Like, hey, man. And they're like, open your mouth. You're like, fucking, it's a shirt.
It's like, why do I feel violated right now?
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, that's what you want out of those guys. But where's that hiring who's putting who's looking for those jobs?
All I know is that if they had career day at my high school.
Yeah, and they told you driving the train at the stadium was an option.
Oh, no one
wouldn't be sitting here
No one would be in the lawyer line.
No.
No one would be like, oh, I could go to medical school for 12 years and have a ton of student loan debt.
Or
I can drive a train when Jose Altuve hits a home run.
Yes, please. And then you go, what's an Altuve? And they go, well, it's not a what, it's a who. And that's just how uncultured you are and in your bubble of Orange County. You're like, can I have fries with my Altuve? They go, okay, well.
There's guys like that. For instance, on my trip to Denver this past weekend.
Yeah.
I got tweeted at by the guy who plays Miles, the mascot for the Broncos. That's another job. And I asked him, I said, how the fuck did you get this job? And he goes, well, I was the mascot for Buffalo, and then I just kind of, they had a falling out, so then I'm like, but how did you get the mascot job in Buffalo?
Yeah, yeah.
Who the fuck, you don't graduate from your college with a degree in the mascotial arts.
No.
Okay? And then I had to think really hard about what the hell that word was going to be.
That sounded real.
Yeah.
That's why I just was like, no, you don't, because that's a real thing.
Yeah, 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 but it sounds good.
And also, how much previous mascot experience did he have?
Yeah.
Did he get into that with him?
Yeah, like, was he doing...
Was he just the high school guy? Or
minor league baseball games,
yeah.
And then there was a mascot talent scout who's, like, wearing a fuzzy head in the stands going, that guy's got talent. Like,
he's in a mascot disguise.
Yeah.
Or that's how you know that there's a scout watching you, if there's one giant head in the crowd.
You just look out and like, all right, there's my family, there's the fans of the team, and then there's a unicorn. Oh, it's the mascot scout. He's here.
We were the Lake Forest Park Dolphins as a kid, and I remember our principal at one point, this is how I knew, I was like, all right, I'm going to be a comedian. She goes, all right, Dolphins. She goes, hello. She goes, good morning, Dolphins. Mrs. McMahon was her name.
Okay.
Giant glasses, fingernails like Freddy Krueger. We called her Freddy Krueger because kids are cruel and pieces of shit and also just have no filter. Mm-hmm. And she would go, good morning, Dolphins. And then we all had to go, eh, 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 eh. So 300 kids are doing that. And I remember laughing and then being like, I'm never doing that again because it was just so ridiculous. And that's definitely like... You know, like, I was just being like, I ain't fucking making that dolphin noise.
Right.
But my first instinct was laughter, and everyone else just did it blindly. And I go, it was almost like
I will not be a sheep or a dolphin in this case.
I will find my own voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a dolphin.
That's ballsy. And you said that's middle school?
No, this was sixth grade.
Actually,
well, the first time it happened was first grade.
Okay.
The first time they made me dolphin was first grade.
I feel like you should be smoking a cigarette under a light.
Yeah. Who made you dolphin?
Yeah.
Mrs. McMahon.
Right. That's, oh my God, the fact that they made you do that.
So we were the Dolphins, but even minor league baseball mascots, you don't go to training for it. So there's got to be something in this guy's DNA that he goes, I love performing. I think you can start with that, right?
Yeah. I like performing. I don't like people knowing who I am.
There's got to be part of that.
Yeah.
And that's a little scary.
And also, he's got a knack for sewing because he makes his own costumes.
Nothing about this is weird to me.
Yeah. Because he showed me his office, and his office looked like... His office looked like Mickey Mouse pulled the pin on a grenade, swallowed it. Like, there was just foam.
Yarn.
Everywhere. Yarn, soft.
Quilts.
Yeah, just...
Half-done beanies.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was cool to see that he doesn't have a whole team with him. It's like, no, dude, it's just me.
I also love how deep into the Broncos team you're getting. Because this guy tweets at you, Rod Smith, McCaffrey, players.
Right.
Now, what you tell me, what blows my mind, you start posting pictures of you at the stadium, and I'm like, look, we get to do a lot of cool shit.
Yeah.
In general, because of our lives and where we've gotten to and the opportunities that come, and some are cooler than others,
but
they're all cool because guess what? You wouldn't have it without what we're doing.
Exactly.
And that's never lost on us, which I love too, because we're still both just like fans. Even when I talked about that Larry David thing and posted about it, I was like, oh, was that self-serving in any way? I didn't want to be preachy. I didn't want to be, but then I just go, you know what? No, I was just sharing.
It's fucking cool.
And I go, I'm still a fan, man.
Yeah.
And a buddy of mine who's doing, you know, well, kind of gave me shit about it. And he's like, dude, he goes, of course he thought he remembered you. He goes, you told me you fucking, it went great. And he goes, and you're dope. He goes, so fucking trust that about yourself. And I go, but that's not it, though. I go, you're so doing well that I think things like that aren't as cool to you. And I think that's where you're coming from, right?
Yeah.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is sponsored by Stitch Fix. Oh, you know what that is. And if you don't, I'll tell you. So look, if you're a guy, you're probably like me and a lot of guys. You could probably think of a million things you'd rather be doing than shopping for clothes, right? Playing basketball, watching basketball, jerking off, eating food, talking to pretty girls that think you're cool, scrolling Facebook for old friends from high school that used to make fun of you and now are stupid. Also, parking, crowds at the mall, endless browsing, and lack of advice online. It's enough to make you want to just rock the same t-shirt and jeans for the rest of your life, but you can't because you got to adapt and you got to be you. And you can only be you if you use Stitch Fix Men. Oh, yeah. What have they done? Oh, just reimagined how to find and buy clothes, and you never even have to leave your house. It's that easy. All you got to do is go to stitchfix.com. That's STITCH.com. And tell them your sizes, your favorite type of clothes, and how much you want to spend. Then a personal stylist will get to work with you, handpicking new clothes for you based on your style and your budget. It's all for you, baby, okay? It's all for you. Like Janet Jackson said, 5 items are delivered right to your door. You try them on at home, and you only pay for what you keep. That's so great. If you don't like something, you send it back. You're not charged for it. Shipping is free both ways, so anything you don't want, you just send it back. And the exchanges are always free, too. That's fucking crazy. You can get your fix monthly, quarterly, or whenever you feel like, because guess what? No subscription required. That's actually pretty dope. A lot of places do that. Stitch Fix does not. It's easy. And the shipping is free, so why not give them a try? I promise you're going to be hooked, all right? Get started now at stitchfix.com/ALN, and you'll also get 25% off when you keep all 5 items in your box. stitchfix.com/ALN. Get started today. stitchfix.com/ALN. If you're a dude and you like clothes and you like feeling good about yourself, but you hate shopping, this is the deal for you. stitchfix.com/ALN. All right? Do it. I'm telling you, it's a great deal. Okay? And I know about great deals. Fuck, I can't do that voice without wanting to punch myself in the dick. Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Tommy John. Oh, yeah, you know what Tommy John does. You know what their products do. You fuck with them. And if you don't, you should be. Look, over the years, we upgrade our lives on so many levels. Cars, phones, TVs, wives, kids, girlfriends, boyfriends, dogs, pets, fucking dicks, even our underwear. I want to tell you about Tommy John, not the surgery, the revolutionary men's underwear brand that redefined comfort for guys everywhere, myself included. Look, I've been wearing underwear my whole life, all right? That's just part of being a dude and a person. Brad, I don't know what he wears. I think he might go commando. No, that's not true. I've seen him wear stuff before, and I know what he wears now. He wears Tommy John. You know why? Because each pair is crafted from ultra lightweight fabric for maximum breathability. That's the biggest thing for me with underwear, is being able to breathe, being comfortable. The legs never ride up, the waistband never rolls down, and Tommy John's patented 21st century design even makes it impossible to get a wedgie. Impossible! You know how many times I'm in public and shit gets bunched up and I have to fucking, just from sitting weird or just it's sticking to your body? That doesn't happen, all right? I've tried all kinds of different underwear brands trying to find the perfect fit, and I'm telling you, Tommy John is the best there is, all right? They sent us some shit. I've been wearing it for a few weeks now, and you know, I get compliments, okay? I'm not going to say from who, but, you know, maybe a lady or two. We'll see. Or not. Maybe it's just myself looking in the mirror being like, you look good, Adam. Why, thank you, me. And look, Tommy John has a lot more than just unbelievable underwear. Their undershirts go on like a second skin and never come untucked, all right? Even their socks are engineered to stay up all day. Now, all Tommy John underwear is backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guaranteed. Did you hear that? Best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guaranteed. No adjustment needed, all right? So here's what you do. If you want to start rocking the Tommy John underwear or undershirts, go to TommyJohn.com/ALN right now to experience life-changing comfort and get 20% off your first order. TommyJohn.com/ALN. That's TommyJohn, TommyJohn.com/ALN for 20% off your first Tommy John order. Underwear. Wear it. Love it. Live it. Breathe it. Take it off. Put it back on. TommyJohn.com/ALN. All right? And now back to the episode.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I can't.
I mean, like, I remember when you got tickets and it was you, me, Andrew Santino, and we all went to the Angels Mariners game.
Yeah.
And then you got to go in the booth, or we all got to go in the booth.
Talk to Rick Riz.
Yeah, who is the voice of the Mariners.
Yeah.
And watch him call a home run, yeah, which was just great timing.
Yep.
And I saw the look on your face, like, you were sitting there in the booth, just like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those moments were definitely cool. So when the guy tweets at me and says, do you want to take a tour of the stadium? I go, yes. And he goes, do you want to see the locker room? I go, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Did you, at one point, did you get in and you go, all right, now that I like, do I have the balls to maybe ask for a little bit more than the, what's on the tour?
Because
you showed you were on the field. What was that like?
Oh, dude. Because we, first of all, the locker room was decorated like a haunted house because they were doing something for their Broncos kids club or whatever. So there were like black lights all over the place. And it's sad that the first thought I had in my head was, well, there's no semen here in the locker room. Because there's all these black lights and nothing was glowing. I'm like, wow. That, see, if I was a player, that would be my first move. Like, I would definitely try to hook up with a girl in the locker room.
Fuck yeah.
But, yeah, so then he takes me out on the field, which is you go out the tunnel from the locker room, and you literally run out onto the field. And when you're at that bottom, when you're at field level, and you look up and you see, like, 70,000 empty seats around you, in that moment, I totally got it. I'm like, oh, I could tell why players never want to retire. Because even seeing the stadium empty, just imagining what it would sound like from that point of view and them all cheering for you as you run out there, that you can't get that
chills
anywhere else. Yeah, you cannot have that happen in any other – like, that's not going to happen any other job. Like the same way we are now addicted to standing on the stage and making people laugh because if we suddenly took an accounting job, that's not going to happen. We're not going to get that kind of reaction.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing there. Like, you're just like that. Nothing would compete with that anymore.
Do you find yourself wanting, like, when you get to do stuff like that, does it like fuel an extra? Does it put more logs on the fire to be like? I mean, look, we're already both, I think, pretty driven for what we want to do. But
yeah,
when you do stuff like that, right? The part of you is kind of like, man, like, what if I?
Yeah.
What if I got to?
Well, the same way, like, we've both seen Adam Devine be a huge fan of the Clippers and now has season tickets, and Blake Griffin will come up to Devine and like dab him up because Blake is a fan of his.
Yeah.
Like, I see that and I go, that's what I want. I want that for the Broncos. I want all the Broncos. I want Von Miller to be like, see me in the second row and be like, yo, what's up, Brad Williams? Like, I want that. So, yeah. So, yeah, it was something that once I experienced that a little bit, maybe a little more driven for it. Absolutely.
Because you're like, oh, well, maybe if I'm even more famous, not the mascots hitting me up, but John Elway is tweeting at me.
Yeah.
Being like, hey, do you want to come to my steak restaurant?
Yeah.
And I'll make you dinner. He goes, I'll toss you a steak.
That is my dream.
Elway to Williams.
Yes, I'll catch it. However he wants me to. If he wants me to catch it in my mouth like a trained seal, done, done, Johnny boy. It'll absolutely happen. That's definitely the next goal for me personally. Is I want to meet Elway.
You asked to see the trophy.
I did.
The Lombardi Trophy.
Yes.
Now, do you
three of them
take a picture and jerk off to it later, or do you just or do you just make your O face in front of the mascot so that he knows? I'm not going to do what you think I am, but I'm going to show you what I would do.
Dude, like, we were, like, the tour was winding down, and I just kind of asked him, I said, where do you keep the trophies? Just curious. And he goes, oh, you want to see the trophies? And he just disappears, comes back, has three huge cases with him. They are all individually wrapped in these cases. He puts on white gloves. He takes them out. I say, can I hold them? He says, no. I say,
pretty please.
I say, come on.
This is my make-a-wish. Yeah,
I'm bringing it back. Yeah, I'm like, come on. And he's like, no, because then I would get fired. And I got to see some things and do some things where if, he, like, there were times of the tour where he would tell me, like, hey, by the way, you can take a picture of this, but if you post it, like, we can never be friends again.
Oh, shit.
So I was like, okay.
Okay, enough said.
Enough said. No problem.
Yeah, and you're respectful, dude.
Absolutely. And you don't, like, when you're given that kind of access, you don't want to do anything to fuck it up. So, yeah, there was never a question.
Which is, by the way, everyone who loves anal's perspective.
I hope so.
When you're given that sort of access, you don't want to fuck it up.
You don't want to fuck it up. Absolutely.
Well, that's incredible. And Denver, always when you go there, it's becoming almost like your home away from home. So it's
it really
cool,
is.
Not only stand-up wise that you're like, I've been there so many times now. Fans are, you know.
We sold out four shows. We sold out four shows at the Comedy Works. And that's sold. That's not comp. That's not like giving away tickets out of the free corner.
Wow.
Sold. So Denver is amazing.
It's becoming a staple city for you.
Shout out to Ed McCaffrey. Ed McCaffrey, former wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, won two Super Bowls with them in 97 and 98.
He also won two Super Bowls for me in Game Day 98 because he was my go-to receiver. No joke.
You go.
I would use, it was, I think it was called Hook something, and it was triangle, was McCaffrey.
Okay.
And every time I would, he would literally, where it was a hook, he would literally go up, and then he would just take a left. And he was wide open in the middle, and my friend, I would do that move on my friend Jonathan Stevens, 9 out of 10 plays.
Yeah.
And every time it
couldn't
would be,
stop it.
Yeah, couldn't stop it. And then when he tried to stop it, I would just like pick one time, go to a different receiver, and then right back to McCaffrey.
There you go.
So McCaffrey, if you're listening, thank you, because you made Jonathan Stevens very upset.
I love that. I love video game rivalries. But yeah, he brought his whole family out.
Wow.
Minus Christian, because Christian is currently playing.
Yeah.
But he brought me a Christian McCaffrey jersey.
Why does he now? Do you feel super chummy with him now, or is it like, or is it still just like
I can text him?
Wow.
And he texts back.
And what do you text him? Acquiring a new grown man friend.
Yes.
There's a text etiquette.
Yes.
There's also, he's a celebrity and he's a hero.
Yep.
So
I'm trying not to fanboy out.
Yeah.
I know that he sells like a hot sauce or something. So I like try to text him about that. So it's not like always about football.
Okay.
Or you know what? He loves his kids. He's very prideful of his kids. So I'll ask him about his kids because he's got two kids in the NFL right now. Christian, and then he has another son who plays for the Packers.
Okay.
And then he has another kid who's like tearing up high school football. So he's got a third one that's going
to
be on the way.
I want that so bad. I want kids to be famous athletes, man.
Right.
I want my rabies to be famous.
Which, by the way, when you texted that to me, that your babies would be called rabies, that was a legit spit take.
Yeah, good.
So well done.
That's one of those jokes where you go, more people are going to appreciate this than normal, but also when it's like, I mean, come on, man. You're such a good joke writer and such good with play on words and short jokes. Not short jokes.
Like quick jokes.
Yes.
Yes.
And so when I came up with that, I was like, oh, he'll love that even more. So like that's a your type of.
Yeah. Right? It was perfect.
And also, I don't know what the joke is there for me to do it. Like, I don't know if it's like, it's tough for me because like, you know, I am starting to get to the point where I want to have kids, but how do you bring that up to a girl? You're like, you know, you want to be sweet, but then like the comic in me, you know, wants to make a joke about it because it's a serious subject. That's where my instinct goes, but I don't want to make it weird. And like, what, you know, I'm like, boy, I just, you know, I want to maybe take the next step with you. And I want to give you rabies. What are those? Adam Ray babies.
Yeah.
Just say that.
Yeah. Just say that. No, I want to put rabies inside of you. What? That's not weird.
You're being the weird one.
I'm trying to be sweet.
But you know what I'm saying? Like having famous athletes, because I mean, Ed McCaffrey. He's probably already living the life, and then you get to live it again through
your kids.
Yeah,
and
basically watch what you did, but then be like, I was better.
Yeah, and his wife, his wife who was so sweet. She was a collegiate soccer player. They met at Stanford.
Oh,
so they are literally. They are like Hitler's dream. They are just cranking out.
That's hilarious.
Beautiful, athletic white people. They're just insane.
Oh my god!
Yeah, they got like they're gonna have three sons in the NFL. It's
I love that.
Insane.
I love that.
It's like the new Matthews family.
Yeah,
they're just nuts.
Did you get any Halloween vibes? Because you know this is the weekend, but Halloween's tomorrow, and so you know the weekend prior. Usually, I can't remember the last time it fell on a. Early in the week to where the weekend is all parties.
It's 5 days of parties.
And I know people that are like, I got a party Friday, I got a Saturday, I got a party Sunday. I have a different costume for every night. And I'm like, one of my buddies, he works maybe 60 plus hours a week. And he's like, I'm going hard this weekend. He goes, I have three costumes. And I go, you're 36. And he goes, fuck you. In the nicest
this
way.
This is all
you.
I have.
He said that without saying it. And then he said it when I said, is this all you have? And he goes, yes. And it was like, no judgment because.
Hey, man, if that's all you got.
Also, dude.
Have fun.
I've gotten more and more subscribed to the About Last Night podcast. Mm-hmm. But the idea of, man, at this point, there is so much. There were already pre-Trump was a lot to be concerned with on a daily basis.
Yep.
And I talk about it in my act. you know, even just on the news with headlines of their, the news is so good about being like, you worried about this? And you go, no, we'll fucking get ready.
Get ready.
Here's 10 to 20 reasons of why you ain't sleeping tonight. And you go, I didn't want to know about that. And now I'm concerned about it. Whether it's a disease or whatnot or a shooting. There's just, so if dressing up like a fucking, like a dick in the box on Friday, like a Beyonce music video character on Saturday,
sure.
And then a, a costume that looks like you're sitting on Trump's shoulders, which was a video I posted on my Instagram,
yep.
Which has more hits and comments than I think anything I've ever posted, which I go...
It's a great costume.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what? So go get it. And even if you want trick-or-treat as an adult, where do you stand on dressing up right now?
Okay.
In our 30s.
Yeah.
Halloween in general, trick-or-treating.
Sure.
Do you buy candy for the kids? Do you... Does your immediate instinct go, oh, I want to go with Liam, my nephew, because he's at the prime age for it, I think.
Yeah, he's four now. Yeah.
I think between 4 and 7. My nieces are 8.
Yeah.
They dressed up like characters from The Descendants, which I don't know what that is. It's a cartoon, but they looked like, they looked adorable.
Now I feel old because I don't know what the fuck Descendants is.
Yeah, I didn't know either. I was like, the George Clooney movie?
Right.
The guy who wrote Sideways? Why would they dress up like Sideways?
Yeah.
Are they going to drink the Merlot? You know, but they're dressed up as these characters, and they had so much sass and tude, and it was for their Monster Mash. They had an elementary school Halloween party called the Monster Mash, and I go, that's amazing, and I asked my sister, how many times did they play the Monster Mash? Mm. She goes, too many. I almost killed myself.
Yeah, so that's the top two Disney sitcom, they look
identical. The costumes, my sister goes, I think I spent a little too much.
Oh, I get it. There, I think... Gathering by this, by the poster, that the whole concept of the sitcom is that they are the relatives of Disney villains. So, like, it's Maleficent's daughter or something.
Well, they look uncanny to them.
Great.
And, great. So, you know.
Yeah.
And I saw that. I go, God, I wish I could trick-or-treat with them again. I went last year and did it. But, so where does Brad Williams stand on Halloween, on trick-or-treating?
First of all, costumes till you die.
Great.
I will never stop dressing up.
Yeah.
Your guy riding on Trump's shoulders this year. I am Rick from Rick and Morty, but there's a specific episode where he turned himself into Tiny Rick.
That's so great.
So that's
specificity.
Me.
Specificity.
And
the costume. Specificity is everything.
And the fact that we had Justin Roiland on this podcast, the creator of Rick and Morty, and when he prank called the Chinese restaurant as Rick and Morty, go back if you haven't heard that
episode. Go back and listen to that whole episode.
Yeah, it's so great. So that inspired that. I will dress up till
I'll give
I
you
Zima. Die.
You should send him the picture.
What's that?
I'll give you Zima. You should send him the picture.
Yeah, absolutely. So dress up till you die.
And then what do you do with the costume? Obviously, one of the points is and look, for your own enjoyment,
sure.
For the picture with the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think at this point with social media, everybody wants to share their being like, look how clever I was. Look what I did as an adult. I'm still
being creative. I didn't just go to the spirit store and buy the costume.
And you do respect it. I mean, look, there were some of my friends from high school. I saw them with some of their couple pictures, and they went so hard.
Yeah.
With a costume where I go, oh, that's sad. I go, I feel like
you
dipped into your kid's college fund.
There's a
for
sweet
that Darth
spot.
Vader lightsaber.
Yeah. There's a sweet spot of like, hey, I spent some time on this, but not all the time on this.
No. You could have made a Vader saber out of construction paper.
I don't know why it made me laugh, but it did.
But instead,
you paid $400.
You paid $400
to
$700, and now you don't get anal. So that's on you. Lesson learned. Hashtag Vader saber. But candy. Do you get the king size? Do you go handfuls? Do you monitor the handfuls,
dude?
Do you give it out, or do you just go? I mean, you're in a.
Here's my thing. I'm in an apartment building, so I don't do it. But I have been to my sister's place in a neighborhood, and I've been in charge of the candy. And first of all, I have one rule that I do not bend on, and that's you have to wear a fucking costume. Because I've seen these like 13-year-old kids just walk up to the door and say trick or treat and hold out their bags. And I'm like, what are you? I'm like, oh, you know, I'm just here hanging out. Like, no.
I'm an angry youth.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm Devin, who are you? You go, wrong answer. Next. Seeing MTV's Next? You're on it.
Yeah, exactly. That, No, you have to have a costume.
That's a great rule.
You have to make some effort, and I don't care. You can even bust out some of those Adam Sandler costumes, the cheap Adam Sandler costumes that he had from 90s SNL, where he put like a rolled up newspaper on his head. He goes, "Hey, I'm crazy newspaper head.
Oh my God.
Hey, I'm crazy. I'm crazy pickle face. I got a pickle on my face, crazy.
I love that you just wrote. Oh my God, dude!
That's, fuck yeah, dude! Those are great cheap costumes that were funny.
That's also when I fell in love with Adam Sandler.
Yeah, like,
that's so dumb and so brilliant.
Yeah,
I'm crazy newspaper guy.
Yeah, I got a newspaper on my head, and I'm crazy. So give me that candy. It was perfect.
You know what though? Perfect. Yeah, that shows some minimal effort.
Yes. So do something.
Okay.
Even like fake freckles on your face with an eyeliner pencil.
And yep.
Say you're someone that has freckles or your friend who has freckles. Don't care. So that, also, if you are over the age of 18, you have to be with a kid, you know, you know, if you're showing up by yourself, if you drove yourself to my house to get candy, no. and just you. Like, if you drove, like, a group of kids or, like, a couple friends, okay, great, whatever. I don't care. But, like, if it's just you, sorry. Get some friends.
Yeah, or go to 7-Eleven.
Yeah, go on Tinder.
They're
looking for a trick-or-treat date.
You know what? Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea.
Actually, a great opening line.
Right. How awesome would it be if you were just like, hey, not looking for anything serious, not trying to get all sexual, just need someone to trick or treat with. That's a great date.
Yeah.
You get to talk. You get to see if the person's creative by whatever costume they wear. Great date.
Yeah, and maybe even be like, I got an extra costume. I spent $750 on a Vader saber. I have this Princess Leia mask.
Yep.
And I don't want to put it on my dog again. Also, it's perfect. My neighbor's dog. I stole it.
Yeah.
I will be getting a phone call. I would love some backup. You could be that backup.
Can you be my witness?
Yeah, can you be?
I need an alibi.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in terms of the candy, I go full Bill Burr bit where he goes like, king size Snickers. Who does that? Yeah. Tell your friends. Oh, I'm awesome.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah. I want to be that house.
I think you got to.
Got to.
Because a lot of people aren't.
Yeah, that. And do you remember being a kid and you would go to the house and you'd be like, all right, ring the doorbell, going to get some candy. And then they would come out and they would have like stickers.
Yeah.
Or like an apple.
Yeah.
Like you wished death on that person.
Yeah.
You're like, if you spontaneously combusted right in front of my face, I would laugh at you. If someone lit you on fire,
yeah,
and you told me the fire extinguisher is right there, just hand it to me.
Yeah.
No, I will laugh in your face and watch you burn for handing me. I remember one house in specific gave away Bazooka comics. Remember Bazooka gum?
Joe gum, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't even the gum.
Just the comics.
It was the comics. We burned that house to the ground.
That's like just giving someone the condom wrapper.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you know the really cool part about this? Yeah, you don't get that.
You don't get that.
No. Go fuck yourself.
I'm giving it to another kid.
Yeah. So we egged that house.
Used. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You egged that house.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I didn't like egging houses, but some people needed to be taught a lesson.
And I love that you used it for like payback, because it's like, as a house, it's 2017. You don't have to go king size, but you got to go candy.
Something.
Don't be giving out fucking comics. Don't try to mix it up. Don't do what Trump voters did and try to shake it up.
Yeah.
And go, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to fucking do it my own way.
No, because
Trump the candy.
Yeah, because you want to know why everyone gives candy at Halloween? Because it fucking works. Because that's what people want. We don't want you to be like, and here's my vegan cupcakes. I mean, go fuck yourself. Vegan cupcakes. Go to Target, go to Walmart, buy the fun size mixed thing of like Hershey's and Crackle and Mr. Goodbar, and just hand that out.
Even,
and that's bare minimal effort.
Even trying to do something like DVDs, like, cool, but nobody wants that.
Hey,
I was looking for Kit Kat, and you gave me Suburban Commando.
Hulk Hogan's Finest Movie?
Yeah.
Don't think I don't know that movie. If you just raided the bargain bin at Walmart, like, yeah. All right, where are all the dollar DVDs?
Yeah.
Okay. No. Don't try to reinvent the wheel.
What's a
don't
kid
be
doing?
Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's a Bible verse. No.
I do want to.
No, just stop.
Now. No. They gave me the candy. No, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger on Halloween. I still trick or treat. I dress up as all my favorite characters I played in my movies.
Yeah.
I go as Junior.
I go as Danny Madigan from Last Action Hero.
Yeah.
And Dominic from Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah.
And the Ferret from Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah. And then they open the door and I say, who's your daddy and what does he do? It's great.
That's a great sketch. Arnold, like, Halloween stories. Like, just terrible trick.
He's trick-or-treating as himself.
We all have one. And I want to end on mine
okay.
real quick.
Okay.
His terrible costume. And look, if you're a kid out there struggling to figure out, how do I make a splash at recess? How do I show up making kids do a double take and go, do what Brad did when he saw my Trump on shoulders, where you spit take and go, holy shit.
Yeah.
I got to step my game up. And also, I'm glad that I go to this school. Well, don't do what I did in the second grade, which is ask your mom for a little help. Mom, having trouble coming up with a costume idea? No problem. I got you. Leave it to me. Is what she said, which was subtext for, I'm going to fuck up your Halloween. She gets me a bird costume.
Okay.
Now, some of you are thinking, oh, cool. Tweety Bird, Big Bird,
Larry Bird. How old are you? Larry Bird.
None of the birds.
How old are you?
Second grade. Ten years old?
Okay,
that's fifth grade.
Yeah, so
8 years old.
But, like, bird costume would be acceptable if you came in, like, Tweety or something or Big Bird or something.
If it's a bird that's recognizable.
Yeah.
I'm just a random-ass fucking bird.
Yep.
It's a purple costume with red, yellow, and orange leaves taped to it. Feathers.
Yeah.
A beak that was a hat. So you put on the hat. You tilted it down. That was the beak. The eyes were through the top of the beak.
Yeah.
And I'm just a bird. And I'm a fat kid. I'm a peacock with tits, and I'm parading through the fifth and sixth grade classes.
That sounds like a subcategory of Pornhub or like a gay slang. Like, you know what I'm really into? Peacocks with tits. Oh, is that like a bear? Is that a bear or a twink?
I'm a
peacock with tits.
It's a butch lesbian with tiny nipples. So I'm parading through the classes and just so sad. And then you get to recess, which is the best part of being in your costume.
Because
then you get all sorts of fun concoctions of make-believe.
Yeah.
Hey, Ninja Turtles and Cowboys versus astronauts and firefighters.
Fuck yeah.
Cool.
It was great.
And I'm pumped to join in on that fun. And then Joel Helgevold, I referenced him before, piece of shit motherfucker, tells me, I go, what am I going to do? He goes, you can sit in a tree and be on lookout.
Oh.
Funny burn.
Yeah.
But... dude, crushed my soul. And I did. I remember I said, like, and again, this is one of those moments when you go, oh, I think this is where I became a comic, or I fought back for myself.
Sure.
Because people teased me for being fat, and I took it a lot.
Sure.
But he said, go sit in the tree and be on the lookout. And I said, it didn't get the laugh I think it deserved, but it got one,
okay, that's enough.
Yeah, that's all you needed, response. Yeah. I go, I'll go up to the nest. I go, but I'm going to make a quick stop at your mom's house. And I did this with my arms. And I did like the flap, like I'm going to fly there. Because mama jokes were in. You
yeah,
know?
Well, exactly.
School, I had a Snaps book. I had Your Mama So Fat or Blood Types Ragu. Your Mama So Fat, when she sits around the house, she sits around the house.
Yep.
Your Mama So Fat, when she wears, when she jumps into the pool wearing a black shirt, everybody yells, oil spill.
I haven't heard that one.
Some of them are just so stupid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Puts on her belt with a boomerang.
Yeah, that's so funny. Your mom is so ugly, she trick-or-treats over the phone.
I haven't heard that one. That was funny.
So I said that, and it got a little reaction, and then I did the flap away as a bird, and I go, I felt better about myself.
And you exited.
Yes.
That was like your moment from like the Step Up movies, where you're like, I just did a sick burn.
Yeah, that was my Who's Coming With Me, you know? I should have been like, Michelangelo, Fireland, Ninja Guy, come with me to the nest where the real party starts.
Yeah.
Fruit by the foot for everybody.
Who dressed up? I thought you said people dressed up as Fruit by the Foot. I'm like, that's a great costume.
Nobody was that smart.
Yeah. I don't really have any horror stories from Halloween, but I will tell you this. The year that I killed it, the year that I owned Halloween, and this is a tip for... if you're a parent out there and your kid doesn't know what to do and they're really embarrassed or they want a weird costume, make your kid go as one of the teachers in the school. I went in as Mr. Linderwell who had a very specific look with the glasses, always wore a flannel, gray hair, made horrible jokes.
Oh, my.
So I just went with all his one-liners, and it was perfect. It was awesome.
Like
so, yeah.
What? What were his one-liners?
Oh, God, what were some of his one-liners?
Close us out on one.
Shit, they were horrible. Oh yeah. Because one day I told a joke in class, and it did really, really well in class. I forgot what the joke was, and then he stopped and went like, "Oh, you know, I got jokes too. Like, hey, what's brown and sticky? A stick." I can't do cricket noises.
I was going to say that sounds like me trying to be a bird as I flew away.
Your mama.
You can't even do the bird noise. It sounds like a cricket.
But yeah, so I would just do his stupid one-liners. And yeah, your kid will kill it. Because then when I went into his class, I stood at the desk. I just stood at the desk, and then he walked in, and I was like, take a seat.
Oh, my God.
Owned it. Owned Halloween.
Oh, my God.
And then...
You're king.
Yeah.
So nobody impersonates a teacher. Because guess what? As a kid, you don't know what's physically or verbally possible.
Right.
Is that expelled? Is that...
Yeah.
And that's why comedians stand out in elementary school, because nobody else has the balls to do that.
Yeah. So impersonated teacher. So then I taught class with him the whole time. So like he... Because... He thought himself as a funny guy, so he would say something and go, what do you think about that, me? And I'd be like, I agree with you. Sort of like your sort of Danza on Danza moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, do we like that? Yes, we do. You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, my
God. Killed. Killed.
How much do you remember that whole thing when you think about it right now? Oh, do you remember the feeling of, yeah.
Yeah, that's vividly, and just being like, I'm owning this shit right now.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and then knowing that. Like, for that day, because you can't come back the next day and do it.
Nope.
No.
Timing's everything.
You just have to have that day, own it. So if you have a kid, they don't know. If you want them to own Halloween, come as one of the teachers. Dress as one of the teachers. It's the best.
Where's Mr. Linderwall now?
Oh, he's dead.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.